Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the State of the Summit 2020. I am David McGuire. I'm the principal here at Tinley Summit Academy. We would like to welcome you to our first State of the Summit meeting. This evening, you will hear from myself, Assistant Principal Tina Cowan, Assistant Principal Kyle Gavin, Dean of Students Terrell Henderson, and School Counselor Whitney Smith. And tonight, we're going to give you some updates about Tinley Summit Academy this year, where we are, progress as far as goals, both from our school-wide goals and our mayor's office goals, but also hear about the plans that we have as we move forward. As many of you know, like Tinley Summit, along with other schools in Marion County, we have now will be remotely virtual beginning November 23rd. We are fortunate enough that we did have 13 weeks of in-person instruction with our scholars, so we are appreciative of that. And we do believe that we have a very robust virtual learning plan that will continue on a path of excellence that we've been striving for since we started school back in August. We do have a PowerPoint slide that will be shared with parents throughout. If you are watching again, please hop in the comments, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, with your name and your scholar's name. If you have any questions, we will make sure at the end of the program that we have a Q&A. So without further ado, we will jump into our State of the Summit meeting. And I'm going to share our PowerPoint here. And also do some joint navigating while also talking. So if you see me looking away, it's because I am running the PowerPoint as well. We always want to ground everything we do in our mission and our vision. And so Tinley's Accelerated Schools, in cooperation with parents and the broader community, will empower students, regardless of their past academic performance, to become successful learners who graduate with the capacity for rigorous college opportunities. Tinley provides a powerful learning experience that intellectually engages, inspires, spurs academic achievement through a challenging and interactive college preparatory curriculum. Our vision: at Tinley Summit Academy, all scholars will experience a rigorous, accelerated learning environment that will set them on the path of college and provide them with the education that will empower them to lead a life that they desire and deserve. Our school is centered on four pillars: academics, leadership, service, and community. Academics. So we believe that all of our scholars are geniuses, and it's our job to make sure that we set the bar academically high, and we do everything we can to provide them the supports to meet it. Leadership. We believe that we are educating the next generation of leaders, and so we want to make sure that we provide our scholars with opportunities to not only display their leadership opportunities in the school, but also in the broader community. Service. We believe that giving back to the community is very important. So we try to strive to make sure that our scholars have opportunities to do service, whether that's in the school or outside of the school. And finally, community. We are very passionate about not just the Far East Side community, but the Dewberry community in which our school sits. And so it's our goal that we extend our reach from the school to the broader community and hope to form partnerships that ultimately help our scholars be successful. So here are our mayor's office goals. So we are a mayor's office charter school, and each year we have to set four goals, two of which are academics and two of which are non-academics. So this year, our academic goals are 45% of scholars will score at or above grade level on clear sight interim for math and both ELA. Now, later in the presentation, we'll talk to you about what clear sight is and how we use that data. Also, 80% of effective and licensed teachers will return yearly. So we want to make sure that each year that we're not having high staff turnover, but we also want to make sure that the staff that we bring back are licensed and also effective. And finally, the 80% of our scholars will return to Tinley Summit Academy yearly. Although oftentimes things change, people move and students move out, it's our goal that we retain at least 80% of those scholars each year. This year, December is actually going to be December 9th, Wednesday, December 9th at 6 p.m. will be our 6-year charter renewal. So we are up for our charter renewal, and we have an opportunity to present to the mayor's office why we want 6 more years at Tinley Summit Academy. And so I've shared out a link with families that if you would be so kind to click that link and fill out a comment portion in support of our school, it will go a long way to helping us renew our charter. The purpose of the hearing, again, is to ask the mayor's office to grant us 6 more years to continue to operate here at Tinley Summit and also do the work that we're doing on the Far East Side. So our school-wide goals, again, the main purpose is we want to be transparent. We have nothing to hide, and we want to be transparent about the goals that we have set and also our progress towards those goals. So here are our 2020-2021 school-wide goals. So we have a goal focused on attendance, suspensions, iLearn ELA and iLearn MAD pass rates, Dibbles, staff retention, scholar retention, and also iRead 3. And so you can see on the left-hand side our goals that we have, and then on the right side is our progress toward those goals. And throughout this, you'll hear more about those goals and how we're making sure we can help not only meet our goals, but ultimately exceed those goals as well. Our strategic plan. So each year we craft a strategic plan. And this year, our strategic plan is focused on five areas, one of which is K-2 strategies, which you'll hear a little bit about today. Also math and ELA, professional development and attendance. And so these are the five things that are anchoring all that we do in our school. And so we have set different benchmarks and goals for each of these strategies. Staffing updates. So we are currently staffed, and we will have a transition of a teacher beginning in December, where we are fortunate enough to already have that replacement. And we only had one staff member that transitioned out since the start of the school year. So we are definitely right on track to meet our goal for staff retention. One of the things we prided ourselves on this summer was to make sure we had a robust hiring practices, that we were ensured that the folks that we brought on were committed to our mission, our vision, and had the same beliefs about our scholars as we do. And so really excited at this point of the year to be fully staffed and only have one staff that has transitioned out. COVID-19 updates. As mentioned, as of today, we've had zero positive tests for staff, zero positive tests for scholars. We did have two staff that had to quarantine due to being exposed. And then we did have to quarantine two classrooms, one kindergarten class and one first grade class. Those quarantines did, one of those did lead to us quarantining the entire school last week. We were out for 3 days. But again, the big news is that we've had zero positive tests from staff and zero positive tests for scholars. And so really want to give our staff and our scholars and even our families a special shout out for making sure that they adhere to those social distance practices and making sure that when students are feeling fevers and things like that, that they're making sure they let us know ahead of time so we don't have an outbreak. And now we'll transition to Miss Tina Cowan, our assistant principal for K-3, who will talk about the next portion.
Yes, so I'm going to talk about academics in K-3. The first thing that I want to talk about is in quarter two, the instruction starts to increase, the rigor increases. And so you may start to see a slight drop in your students' grade. Please don't panic at first. This is normal. The first quarter, there's a lot of review from the year before, but now we're going to really start seeing that rigor. We also really start putting the heavy lifting on the scholars through discussion and more writing. And as we go virtual, it's going to be so important that your scholars are logging in to get that instruction, as the teachers will continue to teach the curriculum. Grades, I encourage you to check PowerSchool weekly, as it is a responsibility of our teachers to enter grades weekly, and then reach out to them with any concerns. It is our teacher's protocol that after 2 weeks of a failing grade, they will reach out just to make sure you are aware, and then we send progress reports home at the end of the month. But again, I just encourage parents to get on weekly and check those grades. Homework. Your scholar needs to do their homework. The teachers put in the time to make sure the kids have the homework. It's important that they're doing it. This is where we fill some of those gaps that just are skills that kids need that isn't a part of their direct instruction every day. So please make sure they are doing that. I did want to say about homework, a lot of times we get parents saying, my kid needs more. It's not about the quantity of the homework. More is not always better. It's about what we're asking them to do. And also, your child goes through a lot while they're at school. And so spending the whole evening doing homework is not what we want for them. What you can expect in quarter two conferences. In January, we will start having those quarter two conferences, even as we go virtual. And this is a time where teachers will start having honest conversations with you with possible retention warnings, where we're asking them, think about if this is where the school year was ending, would this child be ready to move on? We just don't want to have any surprises at the end of the year. Again, this is a warning, and that could mean that in quarter three, that warning goes away. We just want you to be aware, and we will put in a plan. to help your scholar. Dibbles and TRC updates. As we talked about with orientation in the summer, one of our measures for reading is the Dibbles assessment. Dibbles measures reading fluency, which is a foundational skill in reading. And then we also do TRC, which is text reading comprehension, and it measures not only their reading ability, but their ability to understand what they have read. And that's done by starting out with retelling a story at the lower levels, and they have to be able to do that in sequence with a strong beginning, middle, and end. And then as the levels get higher, they're asked text-dependent questions. So where we stand right now with our Dibbles, you can see on this slide that there is a lot of red. And we would expect that in kindergarten as this is their first time, but as we redo our benchmark in January, we hope that red lessens and those other colors increase. We are our goal was 60% of our students at grade level or higher, and we are currently at 52%. So I think we're at a good track, but just keep in mind as well that just like instruction rigor increases for some of the grade levels, the test also, the rigor increases for that. Updates, what you need to know. Because fluency is a foundational skill for reading, our teachers are progress monitoring that each week in grades K through 3, and it's entered as a grade as fluency is a Indiana state standard. So if you are concerned about your scholar's grade, we started this a couple weeks ago. Make sure you're looking at what it is. It could be that fluency, and you can talk to the teacher about what you can do to help. For TRC, we are progress monitoring at least twice a week between our benchmark windows. So we just finished one of our progress monitors, and we will have another TRC progress monitoring window when we go virtual, and the teachers are able to do this assessment virtual. More updates. How can parents help? Read. You need to read to your scholars, listen to them read together. It doesn't matter. They just need to be exposed to reading and to text. Conversation. The scholars need to practice engaging in conversation. Too often, scholars are on a computer or on a phone, and so then they struggle in class building off of each other's conversations, which is how we really get them to dive deep into text. So please make sure you're having conversations that go beyond just a yes-no answer when you're asking questions. The majority of phonics lessons and reading lessons are first thing in the morning. If your scholar is routinely late, then they are missing this instruction, and this is the foundation of reading and being able to move on to those next grades. iRead 3. Third grade is when we really push and expect more reading independence. This is when scholars are transitioning from learning to read to reading to learn. And to assess this, the state gives an assessment that's comprised of phonics and comprehension skills to determine, are they ready for fourth grade? So we are making sure our scholars are prepared for that. Ms. Hogan and I have created a strategic plan to be used during the success period at the end of the day. And we have built this in to our virtual schedule. And scholars are taking a practice test every 2 weeks so that we can track that progress. They took their first one 2 weeks ago. They'll take another one tomorrow. So that's about K-3 academics. And now I'm going to go into talking about our school-wide MTSS plan, which is part of our strategic plan. MTSS stands for multi-tiered support system, and it's a framework to provide targeted support to struggling students. It focuses on the whole child, it supports academic growth and achievement, but it also supports in other areas. This can be behavior, social and emotional needs, but also absenteeism. The MTSS model helps us take general education students and get them intervention sooner to help us identify, does this child possibly need special education? We get a lot of times parents asking that their child have an IEP. We don't just automatically assessed for that. We have to go through this MTSS process because, as we know, all scholars have the ability to learn, but they go at different rates. And so sometimes we just need to put some interventions in to get them caught up. This is kind of a visual model of how MTSS works. All scholars are a part, 100% of our scholars are a part of MTSS because they all receive tier one instruction, which is our curriculum. And this is where about 80% of your students will stay. And then we have tier two. And this is where we just need a few interventions. And we would expect that only about 15% of scholars are here. And then tier three is when, you know, those interventions we tried just didn't work. And so we need to go a little more intensive. And we look for that to be only about 3 to 5%. And then if those tier three interventions aren't working, that's when we would then possibly consider assessment for an IEP for special education. So this is our protocol for how this works for school. Within the first 6 weeks, we had asked our teachers to make sure that they were observing and tracking any areas of concern that they had in academics or behavior with their scholars. They were then to just try some things on their own in the areas that they needed. They could also reach out for ideas. And then they're collecting evidence, work samples, just observations to track the impact of their interventions. After 6 weeks, if they did not see improvement with that scholar, they fill out a referral form and it gets submitted to me with work samples. After the work is submitted, I along with my MTSS team, schedule a meeting and the teacher attends along with our committee, and there we discuss possible interventions for the teacher to implement. And then after the meeting, the teacher implements those interventions and tracks them. And then we have a follow-up meeting 4 to 6 weeks later, depending on the severity of the interventions.
Hey, I'm Kyle Gavin, the assistant principal of fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Just kind of like what Ms. Cowan said with 2-3, things are getting harder. The rigor of our instruction is increasing. It's a lot less review, like what we saw in quarter one. So our work ethic has to match that. That's kind of been one of our issues in 4-6, is that when the work gets hard, we kind of want to shy away from it. And we're trying to get our scholars to do the opposite. When the work gets hard, dig in deep and really, really work to the rigor that the lesson is asking. Again, same thing as Ms. Cowan said with the grades, monthly progress reports, teachers will be calling failing scholars every other week. And then, as she said, well, homework is important. That's where we work on filling those gaps that our teachers have identified. And most importantly, make sure you're reading at least 20 minutes every night. We need to expose our kids to text, but also to develop a love of reading. And that's something that we're really big on at the summit. And that is our homework. So I'm also kind of in charge of our assessments for school-wide. One of the ones that we have done this week actually is a checkpoint. And what that is it is a test that is supposed to assess what has been taught in the 5 weeks prior to the test. So we took one in September over the first 5 weeks of school, and then we took one again this week. It says K through six, but it was only first through six. Ms. Cowan and I talked, and we decided to push the kindergarten one off until January. But that's what that is. Those checkpoints are over the 5 weeks of what has been taught. Interims, on the other hand, is what's going to be taught over the entire year. So when we took the beginning of the year one in August, we use that as like a baseline. So that's what's going to show us our growth over the year. We'll take it again in December. It'll be that week right before Christmas break. We might push it back a little bit depending on what it's looking like. If we will be able to get back in the building right in January, we might push it back and do it in person in January. If not, it will be something that we do virtually in December. And like I said, those will be K-6. And then our end of the year test is what we're going to use to kind of look at our goals, just in case for some wild reason we don't have state testing again this year. We can use that end of the year data to show our growth, and we can use that to kind of compare to our mayor's office goals and our school goals and just say, well, we started here, we ended up here. And that's what our interims are for. It shows what has or is going to be taught all year. Checkpoints are shorter. Like it says, it's a checkpoint. 5 weeks, take a check. How did your kid do that 5 weeks before? And then we move on and we'll take five or six of those throughout the year. Interims we take beginning of the year, middle of the year, and the end of the year. And as you can see, these were our beginning of the year proficiencies. K through two for ELA, we had 22% of our scholars that were proficient. Three through six was 19. Beginning of the year math, K through two was 29%. Three through six was 7%. While these numbers are low, we kind of expected them to be a little lower than what they normally would be just because we missed all in-person instruction in fourth quarter last year. So while I don't want to say we're not worried about these because this is our focus and this is what we're striving to improve, it is something that we kind of expected that they would be lower. And these goals actually, these percentages correlate with our mayor's office goals pretty well. If a kid is going to be proficient on the interim, then a majority of the time that means that they will pass ILEARN. So that's kind of what we look at when we look at those percentages for our three through sixth graders. So that's where we stood at the beginning of the year. And those are the assessments that we do in person. Those are just our school assessments. Now, when we get into our state assessments, like Ms. Cowan kind of mentioned earlier, the iRead 3, we chose to have our fourth graders take it this fall. We will have those results actually next Monday. It was an optional test. We chose to do it as a data point. It doesn't mean anything for the scholars. We wanted to use it as a data point, partially for our school, but also partially for those third grade teachers last year so they could celebrate the success, because we as a school were really excited for our kids to take that test last year. I know Ms. Cowan and Mr. McGuire and myself were expecting our scores to be the highest that we've had at Summit in the 6 years that it's been open, 7 years it's been open. So not being able to have that opportunity really was kind of a punch in the stomach for us. So we wanted to take that chance this fall to use it. Typically, it is a third grade test that is in the spring, and our third graders are going to be taking it now. They're also doing those practice tests like Ms. Cowan mentioned. And the biggest piece of that is this is the shift in third grade from learning to read to reading to learn. And this test is kind of the assessment that shows whether kids are still learning to read or if they're at that stage where they're reading to learn and they're ready for fourth, fifth, and sixth grade and the rigor that comes with it. And then the other state assessment is ILEARN. That's third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade that takes it. It's in the spring. It is a test that replaced ISTEP a couple years ago. So if you were from Indiana and you took ISTEP, this is the test that replaced it. It is a lot more rigorous, which is why we shifted our testing from NWEA, which is another kind of benchmark test, to the interims, because we thought that the interim level of rigor more matched the ILEARN. And this was kind of justified for us the first year of ILEARN, which I guess is the only year we've taken it, when one of our fifth grade teachers was taking the math test and one of the kids was like, oh, we learned this, like the exact way the test was set up. So that kind of justified that, one, our testing is in the right place, our curriculum is in the right place, and we're setting our kids up to be successful for ILEARN. No matter how you feel about standardized testing, I know we kind of have our opinions on it as well, but it is what is measured, what the state measures success by, and we're setting up our kids for success for that, which means we're setting up our school for success on the test. As you can see, this is our data from 2018, 2019, since we didn't take this test last year. Our iRead percentage was 71%. Our goal was 75%, so we're close, but we were not quite there. I think, speaking for Ms. Cowan, Mr. McGuire, and the third grade ELA teacher last year, I think we were expecting somewhere between 80 and 85%. I was pushing more towards 90%, but I think we're realistically looking between 80 and 85%, which is why we set our goal at 80% this year. And I know our third grade ELA teacher, Ms. Hogan, is really pushing for that. So we're expecting big things out of our third graders on that test. And then our ILEARN data, as you can see, our goal was 30% for ELA, 40% for math. So we got a ways to go. But like I said, our alignment with our curriculum and the test really helped us push those goals. And we think we're going to be able to make those. So that's our data for 2 years ago, since we didn't get to take that test last year. And that's kind of just what I just talked about. So there you go.
Good evening. I'm Mr. Henderson, the Dean of Students here at Tinley Summit Academy. It's indeed an honor to share in your scholars' experience here at Tinley Summit. As it relates to culture and climate here, we believe that the culture and climate is as much as important as the academic piece. In fact, we believe the culture and climate drives our teaching and learning on a daily basis. My day begins relative to culture and climate with the uniform. A key symbol of a Tenley scholar is the school uniform. The dress code must be followed with fidelity in order to uphold the excellence of the Charles A. Tenley Accelerated Schools. The uniform consists of a polo shirt with the Tenley logo, khaki slacks with the Tenley logo, beige buckskin shoes with the red rubber soles, and a plain black or brown belt for the third through sixth grade. On any given day, back to the other slide, on any given day with our uniform, we're running somewhere around 95 to close to 100%. Typically, students may show up without a belt. And a lot of times when we go out for holiday breaks, our younger scholars tend to lose their shoes or something. So families, as we go out for the holiday break and our virtual experience, let's make sure that we're keeping track of the school uniforms, putting them in a safe place. And as we return sometime in January, we're looking for 100% full uniform across the board here at Tenley Summit. Culture and climate typically deals a lot with the discipline in the school. And so as a school faculty and staff, we implemented multiple strategies across the board to ensure that we produce a quality culture and climate. One of those pieces is our progressive discipline. Throughout this first semester, the teachers and staff have worked together through our professional development to come up with some strategies across the board that will allow students hopefully to stay in the classroom. A typical progressive discipline approach in the classroom will look something like this. Number one, a student exhibiting inappropriate behavior will receive a nonverbal redirect. You know, a teacher will look at them, perhaps point to them, give them the look, you know. Hopefully that's all it takes. If not, they may get a verbal direct, teacher saying something to them specifically. If we need to go forward, they perhaps will be removed from a group and allowed to reflect on their behavior. What was wrong and what they can do to improve. If that doesn't work, typically a parent phone call is made to the parent and documented in our power school. And if for some strange reason we're still having some issues, a referral is written and the student is sent to me in the dean's office. And typically we try to avoid that, because once they make it to my office, depending how things go, of course, the end result can be an out-of-school suspension. And that's the last resort. And so our teachers are doing a great job with our progressive discipline approach. So just know if you're receiving a call from me as the dean, typically your scholar has received multiple opportunities to correct their behavior. Another piece, another strategy is our social emotional learning, which our counselor would touch on. But here we're talking about doing the right thing, students getting to understand themselves, managing themselves, respecting others, building relationships, and making proper decisions. One of our strategies in the building is our morning meeting. Our teachers go through some mini lessons / activities where they touch on the various components of social emotional learning and what that looks like in our school. We've also worked on some school-wide expectations with the faculty and staff here at Tenley. And so we went through a series of core values and kind of picked out what was most important for us as a staff as it related to our day-to-day experience at Tenley Summit. And what we came up with were these three: respect, safety, and leadership. And we're in the middle of some continuous work where we're creating a behavior matrix that's going to focus on these three core values: respect, safety, and leadership, and kind of outlines what those look like throughout the day, throughout the various components of our culture and climate. For example, what does respect look like in the classroom? What does it look like for breakfast and lunch? What does safety look like in the hallways, at the arrival, at dismissal? What does leadership look like on the school grounds, in the classroom, things of that nature? So be on the lookout for our completed behavior matrix where we outline these three core values relative to the day-to-day experience of our scholars here at Tinley Summit. Lastly, we just have some data that we're pleased to share relative to the fruits of our labor. The strategies that I shared with you have allowed us to decrease our out-of-school suspensions here at Tinley drastically, and we look forward to continuing with this work. Just some numbers to share with you. Of course, this year we're at 20 suspensions up through these first 3 months of school. But if you look at the chart here, in August of last school year, we had 41 out-of-school suspensions. This year, during that same time period, we had zero. In September of last school year, we had 108 suspensions. This year, we had six. And in October of last year, we had 55 out-of-school suspensions. And this school year, we had 10. So that's roughly a 93% decrease in our out-of-school suspensions. We are definitely pleased with their work, and many people to thank for those efforts. We want to continue this work of keeping our students in school and striving to promote safety, respect, and leadership. Thank you.
So I am Ms. Smith. I'm the school counselor for K through six, and I'll be touching on the attendance and our social and emotional learning. It's very imperative when it comes to our attendance and our update. Poor attendance practices interfere with one's academic potential and slow progress of overall classroom achievement and school performance. Students who miss more than 10 days of an individual class in a semester unexcused could receive a failing grade for that class. Attendance slash tardies. Students who are absent more than 8 days in a semester unexcused may be retained. Excused absence is the student is not in school and a parent or guardian has not sent a written excuse from a doctor, judge, or parent to excuse the absence past 2 days or more. Parents slash guardians have the responsibility to call the office by 9 a.m. or any school day when a student is tardy or will be absent. To kind of touch on the attendance a little bit more, definitely want to say that our average at this point weekly, we run about 83% to about 84% of attendance daily with all our students being present. And I definitely just want to reach out and definitely say that it is very imperative that parents, you know, call the front office by 9 a.m. and let myself or Ms. Hayes, the front office manager, know that your student will be absent for the given reasons that I'll explain at this moment. So what is an excused absence? So once you call and let Ms. Hayes know, or myself, or even the teacher of that student, that your student, your child may be absent, these may be some of the reasons that we would ask for you to call. First off, what we'll do is make an excused absence. And what an excused absence is the student is not in school and a parent or guardian has sent a written, could also be a phone call excuse from a doctor, judge, or monetarian. You can also have prearranged absences. So if you know that your scholar may be absent for these given reasons, definitely make sure you give us a heads up prior to that scholar being absent. The listed items down below can be reasons for why you may have an excused absent as well as a prearranged absence. So you can have an illness verified note from a physician. The student is hospitalized for serious injury or illness. And that does mean parents as well or family members. The student is recognizing a religious holiday or observance. The student is out of school because of death in the family. The last one could be other reasons up to the principal discretion. So definitely don't hesitate, but just because of those, if anything else may be going on within your household, you may need some of that additional support. Please do not hesitate to reach out to myself, the school counselor, as well as to Ms. McGuire, as well as to Ms. Hayes, as well as their teachers, to definitely inform us of anything that may be coming up, because it is very imperative that all students are in classroom and are learning. That will be the only way that we can definitely keep up everything that we've all discussed as a team, as if our scholars is present daily. To continue to talk about some of the things that Mr. Henderson pointed out, I'm the one that works with the social emotional learning. So does Mr. Henderson. We work as a team when it comes to that. So we definitely just want to reach out and let you know that Tinley Summit has been and will continue to explore social and emotional learning. Also could sometimes be abbreviated as SEL. It's the same thing as just social emotional learning in our classrooms. Social emotional learning themes are things that we focus on and we strategize with our students on a daily basis to explore throughout daily experiences in classroom instruction, and definitely something that you definitely would want to work with your scholars at home. Reading together and talking about the themes will offer great ways to support children's and social emotional development at home as well as within the classroom. So if we break down these themes, we'll look at about five of them that you can support your scholars at home as well as support us here at the school. So we'll go into those five themes. The first theme will be definitely first and foremost is making sure that your scholar understands their self, myself. And that looks like what emotions are they feeling? What are they experiencing? What are they thinking? What are they going through? Using those could help them identify and discuss those emotions. It also helps them to grow self-awareness and confidence and builds that self-esteem where they're able to relate to individuals within myself or adults in the building to help minimize any conflict that may be going on within the school or within the classrooms. A second thing would be managing myself. Are you behaving well? What can you do? How does that look? Connecting through actions could be something, controlling impulses, and managing those behaviors. So a good reason why I do believe why those numbers have decreased so much this school year, because we definitely want to make sure that this child is aware of what did you do? What could we do differently? How can we better handle ourselves and how do we manage our own impulsive so that we're not causing any different conflict or issues within the classroom? The third one, always and foremost, would be respecting others as well as respecting yourself. That looks like, and sometimes we could talk about how are you like and different from others? We have to empathize with other people's. We have to understand other people's emotions, other people's feelings and what they're experiencing and what they're going through. And sometimes not be so self-absorbed within yourself or within that student that they don't listen to other people sometimes. And working with your student and being able to empathize with them is one key thing to help them to be able to respect others. Last thing you can also do is understanding perspectives of people from diverse places and cultures. And we all come from different locations. We all come from different cultures. So just be an understanding of other people's background and know that some people may not be the same as you does not mean that person is any different. It just means that we need to just treat all people with respect and treat them with kindness. Our last two social emotional themes that we work on within the classroom, second to last would be building relationships. How are your relationship with others? How do we communicate? How do we work together? That works a lot when it comes to group things that the teachers may do within the classroom. How do we work with others? How do we, once again, communicate with others? How do we express ourselves? And then we always have to remember to build that relationship by empathizing with other people and their feelings. Lastly, develop a situation with healthy relationships. You know, always think positive and always be kind. And develop great relationship with others means that others will bring great relationships towards you. Lastly, make decisions. What is a good decision? How do you make good choices? Definitely make sure that you always speak with your scholars and let them know that conflict is not always good. But once we do get in a conflict, how do we handle ourselves within that conflict? And sometimes we may have to evaluate ourselves within those conflicts to be able to escalate them and find solutions to a better progress and making sure that everything works out on the end so that every individual gets to make their decision. Every individual gets to find a solution and fixing the problem. Those will be the things that we would ask you to continue to work with your scholars, those five themes at home. Myself, Mr. Henderson, and the team above, we and the teachers as well, we continuously focus on these five themes and continue to work with those within the classroom. The last thing that we'll hit on before we end this would be, and I can go ahead and read that next slide, is our upcoming events. So this week we did host our book fair. Our last day will be tomorrow. Mr. McGuire and the team did some amazing things with the book fair, as well as McGuire gave some free money out to just help students, you know, continue that reading that we all talked about at home. Every child needs to spend 20 minutes reading. That just goes so far, so long. So just make sure that we continue to support our book fair one more day that's coming. We will start our 100% virtual learning starting November 23rd. Thanksgiving break will be November 25th through November 27th. Our semester one ends December 18th. Last but not least, we'll have our winter break December 21st through January 4th. And then attentive to our return back in person, we just will start that back off on Tuesday, January 19th, 2021.
So as we close this evening, we just want to first thank everyone that had an opportunity to tune in with us. Again, as mentioned up front, the purpose of this State of the Summit was we wanted to provide you with current updates and data points on where we are and progressing with not just our school goals, mayor's office goals, and just everything that's happening in the school. And so as we make this transition to virtual learning, I want to make it clear that we are still going to maintain the high academic expectations that we have for our scholars. Our teachers, our leaders are still going to be expected to do the work of the children. And so we are just really excited about what we have moving forward. And we're not going to let a shift to virtual learners knock us off our path. We have a saying that we use pretty often as how are the children? And the response is, the children are well, the nation will prosper. And so we believe that if we continue to do the work necessary to provide our scholars with the education that they desire and deserve, that all children will be well. And if the children are well, our school will prosper. And so we just want to say, on behalf of the leadership team here and the teachers at Tinley Summit Academy, thank you to the parents and the scholars for what has been an amazing 13 weeks of in-person instruction. To our virtual families who have been going virtual since the start of the school year, I know it seems like you are not a part of the school community, but we are constantly been staying up to date with Ms. Thompson and Ms. Alexander, who has done a phenomenal job with virtual learning. And all those data points from an academic standpoint at Dibbles and TRC, your scholars are involved in that as well. So you are still a part of the Tinley Summit Academy family and will always be. And as we transition into the next semester, it is our goal that we make sure we do a better job and making sure that you feel included in all the events. Again, tomorrow is the last day for the book fair. So in-person scholars, virtual scholars, encourage you to come to the book fair. It will be open starting at 7:30 tomorrow and will close at 1 p.m. As always, we get out early on Fridays. And so we will close the book fair down at 1 p.m., but it will be open from 7:30 until 1 p.m. So if we don't have any questions, I do see Javea and her mother are on. Naomi and Ricky have also been on. Mr. Wright for popping in. And someone who will always be a part of the Tinley Summit Academy family, who is currently serving as assistant principal at our sister school, Tinley Genesis. Ms. Ennis, want to thank you for tuning in. All the other families that have tuned in, even though you didn't comment, we greatly appreciate it. And also want to give a special thanks to our network staff, our CEO, Dr. Brian Metcalf, our chief operating officer, Mr. Idris Redmond, who've worked tirelessly to make sure that we've had those PPEs and the things that we need to make sure that our school has been safe. And also we've had the platform to continue to offer a robust virtual learning experience. And so if we don't have any formal questions, again, on behalf of the leadership team, we just want to thank you for tuning in. And this has been the State of the Summit for 2020. Have a great evening. Stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow, scholars. And for all our virtual families, thank you. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. And you'll be hearing from us soon. Have a good evening.